Well then, it's about 2 o'clock, and with that, it's time for the next session. For this, I would like to introduce Silvia Arapi. She is a digital rights advocate with a special interest in the topics of privacy and InfoSec. And she is also one of the co-founders of Cloud68.co, working to make the use of open source digital infrastructure easy and convenient. In her talk, How to Stay Compliant with Privacy Regulations with Metrium Analytics, she will cover the importance of compliance with privacy regulations, especially from a business perspective, and how Metrium Analytics makes it easier for people to ensure the privacy of their visitors. For this, she will go over a comparison with Google Analytics. And with that, take it away.
Many thanks for the introduction, Marcus. Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to join this very first event of Metrium Camp. Today, as Marcus mentioned, I will be speaking about compliance with privacy regulations by using a digital analytics tool such as Metrium Analytics. A quick look into the agenda for today. I will quickly go over the discussion about personal data, why are so many regulations in place in order to safeguard this data from companies, let's say, who are hosting personal data. We will go through the alternatives that we have when it comes to using digital analytics tools such as Google Analytics, Metrium Analytics, which will be the main focus of this event. But of course, there are also other tools out there which you can use. And then we will go over the main requirements of GDPR, and we will look into the tools that Metrium provides us with, which helps us, which support us to respond to the requests of data subjects, and as a consequence, that makes compliance easier. So a few words about me. I am a free software and online privacy advocate. At least this is what I do on a volunteer level. I am a board member of Open Labs Hackerspace in Tirana, Albania, an NGO where I have contributed for the last couple of years, and where I had the opportunity to learn about the free software movement, and since then I've been engaged in various small open source project software. I've mainly been engaged with advocacy and with a special focus on the topic of online privacy. I'm also one of the co-founders of Cloud68, a company which supports other small teams to make use of free and open source software. I've been using Metrium in the last 2 years, maybe, despite the fact that I haven't used it in a setup where we would handle like a huge amount of data. I've closely looked into it as an alternative of Google Analytics, which of course, not only makes compliance easier, but has many other advantages compared to this proprietary tool, which I will try to go in a more detail later during this presentation. I'm sure that everyone who is hearing this session now couldn't have missed hearing the expression that data is the new oil. We hear this pretty often, maybe in the last decade. Since 2013, with the Edward Snowden revelations about how personal data was being mishandled, not only from companies, but also from government bodies, there has been a lot of discussion and many other cases of data breaches have been published, which created and increased this need for a public debate about how companies were storing personal data, how they were processing it, how much data they were holding, and how much information does the public have about this. And this increase of the cases of abuse, we can say, increased also the need from public bodies to create proper legislations on the ways how these companies should handle the data and how they should also take measures to protect it and to not abuse with it. The reason why companies are so eager to collect as much data as possible is because, of course, as this expression says it, data is the new oil. It means that there are also lots of profits about collecting and making use of the data. So this is why it's really important to have proper legislations in place to help to hold these companies accountable about their actions. So privacy compliance, a very short definition of the term is that it is a company's accordance with established personal information protection guidelines, specifications, or legislations. Depending on your country where you are operating or where your customer base is at, you might fall into different regulations. So this is a case by case, this can be treated on a case by case scenario. But two of the most not only popular but also more strict regulations is in place are the European General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, through which also during this presentation we will look into more detail, but also the CCPA, which is California's Consumer Privacy Act. Both are designed to protect unauthorized access to what's called personally identifiable information, which we will also define in the upcoming slides. So basically, this presentation will mainly be designed for those companies who are gathering personal data of individuals who are performing digital analytics, but are also looking for tools which will support them to stay compliant with these various regulations. So despite the fact that there is there has been this long discussion and abuse about the misuse of personal data, at the end companies also need to collect it because it's also a way to serve their customers, to improve their experiences, to perform innovation. So the main considerations here is that we should perform digital analytics actions in this GDPR era by having ethics in mind and by complying and by using the right tools which support our ethics. So as I mentioned, while there are various regulations in place, one of the most strict and most discussed ones is the European GDPR, which requires all companies, despite the fact if they are based in the EU or not, if they are serving to EU based citizens, they will have to comply. This is a regulation which strengthen and unifies data protection for all individuals within the EU. This regulation, of course, is quite complex, and if we will go and dig way much deeper, of course, we would need the support of law consultants to discuss like everything related to it, but in a more or if we were to explain it very easily, it is applicable to a company every time that it is collecting personal data. If you're storing personal data of these individuals, then you have to comply with the data protection principles, which are guided by the GDPR. So, of course, in order to collect this data, you should also have a legal basis for doing so. You should always communicate this legal basis to your users, which are called the data subjects. So they should be always informed about the type of data that you are collecting, about them, and why do you need this data. And of course, they have various rights upon this data, which again, we will look into more details. An important aspect of the GDPR is that it also included some other identifiers in the concept of personal data. For example, IP addresses. If an IP address can be used to uniquely identify a person, this under the GDPR, this is also considered personal information and personal data. So it's not enough to have like very concrete information about the person which falls under the PII, such as their name, their home address, their email address. But if there are some sort of third-party identifiers which you can use to match and to in another way to identify a person's identity, that falls under the personal data. And here we include IP addresses, cookie identifiers, page URLs or page titles, user IDs, e-commerce order IDs, locations, and heat maps and session recordings. So this is this was a major upgrade with the GDPR to also include this kind of identifiers as part of the legislation. So every time that you are collecting this information, you should make sure that you are following all of the GDPR guidelines. So when, especially in the case of small companies who do not have all of the resources to go over a very careful check of their internal procedures, they should try to minimize as much as possible the amount of data, the amount of personal data that they are saving about their individuals. And when possible, if they do not really need it, they should completely avoid doing so. And of course, there are ways. For example, if in your website you are hosting a digital analytics solution, but you are mainly interested in analyzing the user behavior, but you don't really need to know who these users are, then you should make sure to configure your tools in the right way so that you just get the information that you need, but without hosting any type of personal information about your visitors. So in this way, you will save to yourself a lot of time and resources, which you otherwise would have to dedicate to communicate what kind of data you are hosting through your privacy policy, and also to comply with the data subject's request. So in every scenario when you can avoid at so all hosting personal data, you should consider doing so. Also, another benefit, let's say, of not hosting personal data when that is possible, which you can achieve by using a tool like Matomo, as we will see later, is that you can configure it in a way so that you can also avoid the consent screens, which are those annoying screens that we see every time that we open a new website, who asks, who informs us about cookies and the data that they are storing, because this has proved to also impact the customer experience. So if you can, in a way, avoid this at all, that can also be beneficial for your business purposes as well. Matomo actually provides a way for you to achieve this. So in the case that you do not track personal data and you also have need to have enabled cookie-less tracking, you can bypass this requirement, which is quite usual by legislation such as GDPR and the e-privacy, to display this banner asking for cookie or tracking consent. The reason why with Matomo this is possible is that visitors aren't tracked across various websites, as it happens in the case of the Google Analytics. Visitors can be tracked within different days, so in a time frame. Matomo does not perform profiling of visitors. And of course, the data can be used for your own purposes and not for other purposes, such as in the case of Google Analytics, with whom, if you share the data, they can also use it for their own offerings. An important consideration under the GDPR are the rights of the data subjects, who are the people to whom you are hosting this personal data. Under the GDPR, they have various rights which they can exercise anytime. And in order to stay compliant, you will need to have the necessary tools to respond and to perform these requests by your data subjects. Some of these rights are the right to be informed. You have to always communicate the kind of personal data that you are collecting through a privacy policy. At least this is the most usual way to communicate this to your users. They have the right to access this data, so they can ask for you all of this information and you will have to share it with them. They have the right to ask for erasure of the data. They have the right to ask for modifications of the data if they pretend that the data that you are hosting is not correct or needs to be updated. They have the right for data portability, which means that in some cases they might ask for this data and you will have to send it to them in a machine readable format, which they can easily use afterwards. They also have the right to object. This mainly happens in the case where you are not asking for consent, but you are performing the data collection under the legal basis of legitimate interest. And in this case, your users might have the right to object for the data collection. And of course, in the case that you are asking for consent, they have the right to withdraw consent, and usually it's advisable to offer an opt-out option, which is easily accessible by your data subjects. All of these specifications under the GDPR put a lot of pressure on companies of all sizes, because no matter of the size of the company, they have to make sure that they are respecting this personal data. So they need to take all the appropriate measures to stay compliant. This requires additional resources, more education within organizations to also train their internal staff and to design all the organizational procedures with data protection principles in mind. So with this being said, you, when it comes to making the decision about your digital analytics tool, you might have to go through a decision-making process when choosing the right and appropriate tools. As I mentioned, during this presentation, we will mainly go over the comparison of Google Analytics and Matomo Analytics and why I believe that Matomo is better for privacy compliance. But of course, there are plenty of tools out there. The only thing that I would suggest is that when you make this decision, we should also try to look and to consider as a factor in the decision-making process the tools that the software provides in terms of privacy option. So if usually in this decision-making process we consider simply the features or the analytics, how powerful this tool is in terms of analytics, I think it's really important to also add in the decision making these other options. I haven't used any other open source tools besides Matomo, but when I looked into it as an alternative to Google Analytics, it really makes things easier and it does provide great documentation in terms of how you should treat the GDPR cases. So why you should consider Matomo as a replacement of Google Analytics? The main reason here to mention is the fact that when you are using Google Analytics, you are sharing your data with Google, a big tech company which we can now say whose reputation hasn't been that great in the last couple of years. We also know that Google uses this data that you share with them of your visitors. They use it to feed their databases for user profiling, which has been considered a big threat by many privacy advocates, a threat not only to people's data, but also to democracy, we can dare to say. With Google Analytics, you also do not have ownership of the data. You are sharing the data with Google, it belongs to them, and you have to agree with their own terms anytime. With Matomo, you have options, such as the option to host the data on your own, being it at your home server if you have like the technical skills to do so. As we discussed earlier, with Matomo, you also have this option to avoid this annoying tracking concept screens for those businesses who might be able to configure Matomo in this way. While with Google, you cannot do that because you are sharing, because they are using every data that you share for their own purposes as well. And also with Matomo, as in the case of every other open source software, you have flexibility. Since the software is open source, you have the freedom to customize the software according to your own needs, to develop plugins so that they can perform other actions. So if you're a developer and you want to customize it based on your organizational needs, you can do so, or you can allocate appropriate resources to customize Matomo. And of course, you have the option to host it on your own premises, or you can go for the Matomo Cloud offering, which in any case does not use the data that you host in their cloud for other purposes, as in the case of Google Analytics. And of course, you will have this option to be more independent, because in a scenario, for example, even if you are using the Matomo Cloud and they change their pricing model, you can always have the option to self-host or look for other options available. While with the Google Analytics, it is as it is a proprietary software, this migration process might be a little bit more complicated than simply moving your Matomo data from one server to another. So these are some important considerations to take. Usually, when people just look for an analytics solution, it's easier to go for Google Analytics because it's free in the sense that you do not pay any money for it, but you do pay with the data that you are sharing, be it your visitors' data. And of course, also by using a more privacy compliant tool, you can also gain a competitive advantage, because in the cases of data misuse, companies can also have like very negative impact in their reputation. So if you do take these appropriate measures but your competitors don't, then you automatically in a way are gaining some competitive advantage over them. So why Matomo? Some of the main benefits of using Matomo, as I mentioned, is the fact that you have 100% data ownership. It provides so many privacy options which you can customize and will help you stay compliant with various legislations and privacy laws, depending on your scenario, where you are based, or what kind of data you are hosting. It's reliable and secure. Matomo is open source, and there is an active community behind it who are like actively contributing to the source code, reporting bugs, and helping in improving it. And you have the option to host it on-premise or on cloud. Regarding the privacy options that Matomo has to offer, it really makes compliance easier by providing many features. Sorry for the background noise. To quickly go over these features, Matomo provides you with data anonymization because it is designed with privacy by default in mind, so it implements a range of data anonymization techniques. For example, you have the option to not record the full IP address of your visitors. Here is a screenshot from the Matomo interface, where, as you can see, you have the option to select how many bytes of your visitors' IP addresses should be masked. And this gives you more flexibility, let's say, in the way that you are, how you are hosting this personal data of your visitors. It has a GDPR manager tool, which for which we will go in more detail later, but it helps you, which will support you to respond in an easier way to your data subjects' requests. Matomo can be configured to not process any personal data or PII. I've shared in the resources of this slide a link, which has a very detailed guide on how you can achieve this. There's the option to configure Matomo to automatically delete logs from the database, which means that you can also automate this process as well. Also, according to GDPR, you should have this procedures in place also about the timing on how about data retention, which means how long do you need to save your customers' data. So according to these procedures, you can also configure Matomo in the right way so that you comply with these regulations. Matomo supports the do not track preference, which is like a browser configuration of your users so that they notify automatically Matomo, so in the cases that they do not want their behavior to be tracked. Matomo has other options, such as to disable the live features, to disable tracking cookies. You can customize the way how your users opt out of all the trafficking. You can delete visitors' data when requested through the GDPR tool, which we will look into later. I also mentioned it previously that the data is not used for other purposes compared to Google Analytics. You have the option to disable visitor logs and profiles, and options in terms of where you are storing this data. So we also mentioned earlier all of the rights that a data subject has under the GDPR legislation. Okay, sorry for the background noises. So the GDPR manager has been developed to ensure that websites are fully compliant with this regulation, and it provides you with the right tools so that you can take appropriate steps to comply. Here is a screenshot from the GDPR tool from the Matomo Analytics, and as you can see, it makes it quite clear and it keeps you informed of all the options that you have when dealing with a subject's data. So the first link in this menu would be to search for a data subject. And this is what it looks like in Matomo. So you have the option to choose the data source, which can be from which website. If you're hosting different websites, you can choose the website from where you want to filter this data out. And here you can find data subjects by performing different filtering options to find the matching data subjects. And in this way, through these filtering tools, there are various actions that you can perform, such as, for example, if a data subject will perform the right of access to this data, after searching the data by using this GDPR tool, you can export the matching results and send it to the data subjects. And this can very easily be done by this export selected visits button. Another option is to delete the selected visits, and you can apply this in the case when the data subjects are applying their right of erasure. And the procedure that you follow is the same. You filter out the data, but in this case, you will simply delete those visits and inform the data subject for this action. The data subjects also have the right of rectification. So in some cases, you might need to update the data that you are storing. In the Matomo, you have to do this by accessing the database or modifying the records. But in some cases, a workaround of this, like when in setup where that is possible, might also be to simply delete the data if you don't need it anymore. Your data subject also have the right of data portability. And in this case, you will again exercise a similar steps as in the case of the right to access, and you will send in a machine-readable format their data to your data subject, so that they can access it and they can use it. For example, if they are moving from your offering to another service provider, they have access, the right to ask for this data. And another right of your data subjects is the right to object. This is applicable only when processing personal data with a legitimate interest as a lawful basis. And in this case, you should offer an opt-out feature to your users. Matomo again makes this easy through the interface where you can customize the output iframe as you wish, and then you can embed this code on your website to make it as easy as possible for your data subjects to opt out when they wish. And visitors have the right to withdraw consent, and this is applicable only if you are using consent as a legitimate ground to collect this data. Migrating from Google Analytics to Matomo. In my personal experience, I have faced this question a few times, and the procedure has been like quite simple. Matomo provides again very good documentation that you could follow, but again I've tested this scenario with not like huge amount of data, but in each case, you should go over an evaluation process to make sure that everything is working as it should for you. So for this process as well, in the resources of this presentation, I've shared a guide from Matomo, which hopefully will make the migration easier for you, in case that you have already started Google Analytics and you want to consider a switch and start using Matomo. So many thanks for hearing. This was the presentation for today. So if you have any question, you can feel free to write them in the chat or.
Thank you, Silva. And there are already two questions or discussions in the chat. The first one is, what do you mean if page titles and page URL are personal data? Do you mean together with other data?
Yes, because this kind of data in a sort of way can be used to identify, can be converted into a PII. Which means that if there is a way that your data controller, which is the person who is tracking this data, can match or can reach, can after your identity, after collecting this information, that means that if you are hosting this kind of like search queries that a usual user might enter in your website, that means that you are hosting personal data and you should take appropriate steps to safeguard it as GDPR guides us.
Okay, thank you. We have another one. Even if I anonymize a part of the IP address, isn't the whole IP address stored in the database?
In the database, it's stored only the anonymized version the IP address, but of course, anonymizing IP addresses is not enough to say that you are not storing personal data. You should also make sure about what other type of information that you are hosting. But this is like one of the features that Matomo provides so that you can minimize the information. So at least this is like a step to more privacy.
Okay, and we have another question. I think it may be related to the first question because we have a bit of delay. But it's, what about pixel tag?
Well, that also falls under the personal data because in some cases the cookies might save some unique identifiers which can then be used again to identify a person's identity.
And thank you about that. I'm gonna wait for another minute to see if any more questions pop up. But that seems to have been the case. If any other questions arise, feel free to keep using the chat for it. It's gonna stay up. And besides that, once again, thank you for the presentation. And yeah, have a great day.
Okay, thank you, everyone.